And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, a short work week for some, not for everybody. I want to thank everybody again for joining us. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki alongside with my talented Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How was your weekend, Bridget? You're fighting a little something as well. That's been going around, huh?
First of all, you introduced us completely wrong because today it turned out that we are Weather and Ag in flannel.
Matching.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. And pure it frightens luck. Me that we shop in the same place.
Yeah, right.
Just saying.
Yeah, if you're watching us on live stream, we're both look like lumberjacks, dressed as lumberjacks today.
but I don't see Paul Bunyan height in either one of us.
And maybe if we got on each other's shoulders.
Probably. And if that's the case, if we need Babe the Blue Ox, it's our tiny little Highlander Kyle Cooper right here. That's going to be the one that does it.
There you go. There you go.
That's what we got.
How was your weekend?
Good. It snowed and it stayed.
Yeah.
Wham.
It's going to stay around.
Fine.
Yeah, but I mean, we didn't get that much. We picked up a couple inches last week, and then we picked up about a half inch overnight. Some spots got a little bit more, but generally a half inch across the years. Northern Valley didn't get anything, and out in the Lakes Country, they picked up about an inch. And we're in what's called a northwest flow. And typically when we have those, we get these little clipper systems that come through and deposit these half-inch to inch snowfalls, enough to snarl traffic a bit. But no big storms on the horizon. We're going into one of the quieter, I'll call it a quieter part of the LRC cycle. And no, the cycle has not been set yet. This is a little longer this year, a little longer cycle than the previous few years. So Gary is combing over the data, and mark on your calendar this Wednesday, the 27th, on the Jay Thomas Show, we will have our winter weather outlook, and we'll be using the LRC to forecast what this upcoming winter entails. And, you know, we can take a peek into the spring. It'll kind of give us an idea of what to expect, not only for the winter, but what does the spring look like as well for spring plant? We won't touch a whole lot on spring. We'll be concentrating mainly on the winter. But, I mean, if you remember when the start of the cycle in October, it started out very dry and warm. And then we kind of flipped the switch, and October was dry, but November has been wet. So, I mean, if you average them both out, you know, we missed a couple of storms just to our south, and more than likely that will be the case in cycle 2 and 3. But when we come back towards the spring, those might be a little farther north, which is good news. So all in all, this doesn't look like a winter like last year.
No, which is great. And I don't mind that we're going to get some snow, but stop messing with the roads.
Right.
I have my list of demands. I'll be putting those out in front of us.
Yeah, and especially this is a big travel week, and we are looking at a little more snow in the forecast as we head into the upcoming big travel week. Not for today, though. Partly cloudy skies to mostly sunny with temperatures currently in the upper teens. We'll make it into the low 20s today with those breezy northwest winds. More of the same for tomorrow. Sunny to partly cloudy with increasing clouds late, low 20s. And then as we head into your Wednesday, we'll see light snow in the morning through about lunchtime, it looks like. And again, less than an inch. We're looking at probably a half inch, 3/4 of an inch. Not enough to cause many problems, but again, it doesn't take a lot to kind of grease up those side roads. And Wednesday, big travel day. So just there will be a light snow event moving from northwest to southeast across the state. So if you're heading into Minnesota during the day, they'll be getting some snow later in the day on Wednesday with highs in the low 20s. Then modified Arctic air moves in Thursday through the weekend. Now, the cold will be bad enough. We'll only have highs in the teens when normally we should be right around 30 this time of the year. So well below normal. But the winds, we are going to have some windy conditions both Thanksgiving all the way through Thanksgiving weekend. So we'll have wind chills approaching 20 below at times. So that's going to be a cold Thanksgiving and post-Thanksgiving.
Well, one thing is when you run out of room in the fridge, you can set things outside on the porch and they'll stay nice and cool.
That's one of the bonuses.
Don't leave the Diet Coke out there too long, people. That's going to blow.
Oh, yeah. But that's a good point. You can leave the leftovers outside.
Oh, the redneck cooler comes in super handy.
It does.
I'm planning on putting my turkey carcass out there because then I don't have to keep it in the fridge until I make turkey noodle soup in a couple of days.
Right.
That's always about planning ahead here, Dean. I got to think for these things.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so put that on your calendar once again this Wednesday, the 27th, on the Jay Thomas Show. We might try and squeeze Gary in here on weather and ag just for a little bit before the Jay Thomas Show. I know he's got a bunch of meetings, he said, on Wednesday, so if we can't, but he'll be definitely joining us at 2 on the Jay Thomas Show after weather and ag and focus. So I know a lot of our ag community wants to know like what this winter holds. Now for the general public, you know, they want to know how much snow, curious, but for the ag community, you know, what if we have a drier than normal winter and not a lot of snow cover for the, you know?
Then tell me if we're going to get a lot of rain in the spring like we did this past year to mm-hmm. make up for our lack of moisture in the subsoil.
Right.
Also, it's our livestock folks are going to think, well, if I don't have to fight quite as much snow, that's helpful. I don't have to dig out hay. I don't have to dig out pens. If you have less snow, folks who are winter grazing find that awesome because, you know, it's readily available food sources for those cattle that are out on corn stocks and that type of thing. So, right. You know, there's pros and cons of both sides of it. I think let's keep in mind that we have the weather special on Wednesday, but we have so many other things that are coming up right now. First of all, Sunday, we ask you to join us from 4 to 8 o'clock, and that will be at the Moorhead American Legion. We have a spaghetti feed. It is a spaghetti feed, silent auction, bake sale for one of our own, Jace Dunman, who is one of our sports guys here at the stations. And Jace has sat in one of our chairs before to help out when we've needed him in a pinch. He suffered a serious heart attack in October. He's currently waiting to get through quite a number of health concerns and see how his improvement can be. But we wanted to help him out. And again, this is a spaghetti benefit dinner for him on this Sunday, December 1st from 4 to 8. That will be at the Moorhead American Legion.
Yeah, come out and say hi, too. And
absolutely.
And, you know, Jace could use all the help he can get. And, man, he's a fighter.
He's doing great.
He's a fighter, I'll tell
you. I plan to bring a chocolate cake for the bake sale.
Nice.
And, I mean, I'm not running a commercial kitchen, but I will tell you right now that the last time I brought that to a company event this summer, I was told that it should be illegal. So apparently, it's pretty good. Additionally,
and you just bring in one?
Just one.
Oh, come on.
I'm not telling you what's at my house.
Yeah.
Then on Monday, next week, Monday, a week from today, we are going to start an announcement about a big giveaway. We're going to start that on Jay's show. Details are going to follow, but for those of you who are thinking about a winter getaway,
it's
time to start planning for this might be the thing that you want to win.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. We've got that going on. Next week also kicks off North Dakota Ag Association's annual meeting. That will be here in Fargo at the Delta. It will be on Monday and Tuesday. That's a change from when that Ag Expo was held up at the Fargo Dome, and it was much larger. We had farm equipment in. They don't allow you to park a Terragator in the Delta Hotel Conference Center. It takes up too much space. So we're going to be doing something a little bit smaller scale, but there are still the educational seminars. It's followed up by if you need to recertify for your commercial applicator's license in the state of North Dakota, you can get that done right around, I think it's on the 4th, the day after that event. There are a number of things going on. So looking forward to having people in town next week talking all about ag as usual. And that's just kind of the kickoff. The week after, I will be in South Dakota for South Dakota Cattlemen's Association. I'll get home just in time for the Prairie Grains Conference in Grand Forks. And I think I have a little breather then until we get to the new year. If I'm missing something, one of you will email me, ag@flagfamily.com. You can also email Dean with weather questions before the weather special on Wednesday, weather@flagfamily.com. And today, as always, you can call us on the Red Wing Shoe line, 701-293-9000. Thanks for watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV live streams.
You are a busy, busy.
You saw my calendar when we were in the weather office. that was just the first 2 weeks.
You don't have much time off at all.
If I had a bunch of time off, that'd be called volunteerism.
Right.
So I'm here for the job. That's what we do. Got a lot of stuff to take care of.
Oh, man.
And, you know, and so also don't forget, I'm still looking for students to help fill out the calendar for the coming year because I want to have an assistant ag director. I need a student each month, so I need a new student for every month. I need like 12 of you guys. And I want you to be able to join us on air to talk about our topics, to interview our guests with us. And I realize there's some concern about, well, geez, you know, I have school. Well, I would work with you. It's not a set day of the month. And so we'd make sure that it was a day that you could be in town away from school so that we could get the, you know, give you a full experience, right? Come in a little early, work with us behind the scenes, that type of thing.
And this, I mean, this is a great experience.
Well,
the kids.
If you're thinking about ag communications in any way and you want to test drive it, here's a chance. And we're talking high school. You know, as I want you to be in that freshman, sophomore, junior, senior in high school up to 21 years old, because we have students that participate in ag communication contests within 4-H and FFA until they're 21. Mm-hmm. What a practice round. So that would, I would love to help y'all out with that.
Good deal. Yeah. I love helping. I ran into a gentleman over the weekend and, he said, hey, he said, do you guys take interns? I said, we sure do. I said, we already have one.
A weather intern.
Yeah, we already have a weather intern. So he's got a couple of high school students that are very interested in meteorology. So they're going to come in and shadow. And,
why not?
You know, yeah, it's great experience for the kids. You can learn in a day if this is something that you want to do. You're usually going to gravitate towards it pretty quickly.
And you should. You know, I've always told students when I was in my previous job hiring interns for the summer, I said, you need to test drive this, because what if you don't know that this is something you do or don't like? Mm-hmm. You better find out if you like it or not and give it a try. I had one kid come back and say, I don't like driving 5,000 miles a month. So, well,
which is,
it might be a lot. Yeah. Okay. So that's a fair statement, but at least we knew, right? And he learned that.
Right. Excellent. Well, we've got a guest coming on the show. He's a first timer on our show.
Yep. So we have coming up Brett Barkowski. He is with the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Sports. Put a guy on a horse with a gun and enter an arena. Sounds good, doesn't
it? This sounds interesting.
I'm excited. He sent photos and video that we're going to run the live stream today so that we get a chance to look at those. But very excited to see what's going on with that sport, the hows and the whys of it. So, I mean, all the things from training horses, the athleticism that they do, where do they compete, and so much more. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about that next. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. And do not forget, if you are planning to have folks over for the holidays, swing by Great Harvest Bread Company here in town. Actually, I have an order. I'm going in on Wednesday before we do the weather special to pick up. They call them the Heavenly Dinner Rolls that are back. So I've ordered some, and I've ordered extra for tailgating, and I will be picking those up Wednesday. And I hope the rest of you are too.
Wait, you're picking them up Wednesday?
Uh-huh.
Are you freezing them? Because
yeah. Well, I'm going to see.
It's going to be a few weeks before we have another tailgate here.
No, it's only going to be about 10 days, but I need one set for Thanksgiving. I need one set for tailgating. And the Great Harvest Bread said they will wrap them so that I can put them in the freezer.
Perfect.
Yeah, they're going to be excellent.
Perfect.
So before we came back on air, Dean's asking me all these questions, and my reply to him was, maybe we should ask our guest.
Yeah. Because there was, I'm like, wait a minute. This includes these, I said, what's he shooting in the rodeo? And there's fans in attendance.
Oh, yeah.
Does this work?
So the fun part for this is that the video that Brent sent us, or Brett sent us, Addison's going to be able to show while we're talking today. But first, let's introduce our guest, and that's Brett, I'm going to do this all day, aren't I? Brett Barkowski. He is with the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Sports. Brett, how are you today?
Very well. Sorry about not wearing flannel. I didn't get the message.
Yeah, right. You missed the memo.
Had I known, I wouldn't have worn flannel. Okay, so Brett, where are you from? And last I checked, when I answered my phone call from you, you're in South Dakota somewhere. Tell us more.
I'm from Wessington Springs, South Dakota, a rancher born and raised here. My wife Amy, we were raised beef cattle and raised and trained barrel horses and mounted shooting horses.
Okay. This is not something I remember seeing at rodeos when I was a kid. So is it a relatively new sport? Kind of give me the background.
It's a relatively new sport. It's a new sport. The Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association was founded in 1993, so pretty new, and it's slowly grown since then. There's 20,000 members, give or take, now. So it's far behind other sports, but it's also far behind as far as when it was started.
So one of the pictures that Addison just had for us that we could see, it looks like in the arena there are posts, and then there are balloons on top. So can you kind of walk us through what happens in an event?
Cowboy mounted shooting is kind of like barrel racing. So we have 10 reactive targets. i.e. balloons, that need to be engaged. And there are 80 some odd different courses. Sorry, I don't know the exact number, but you shoot the first five with one gun and you switch guns and shoot the second five. Normally the second five are always in a straight line on the way home. Not necessarily though. And it was mentioned earlier about the safety of the sport. And right. that's the number one question. What we shoot is a specially loaded black powder blank. It's crimped on the end. It looks like a birdshot shell, but all that's in there is the black powder. And in order to be a certified round for the sport, it has to pop every balloon at 10 feet and none at more than 20. And for spectator safety, then no balloons can be closer than 30 feet from the arena fence because we want our spectators to come back.
Yeah. Yes, that's a really good point. Okay.
Now, Brett, I mean, do you have to train the horses for this? Because the first thing that came to mind was, are these horses getting, you know, you would think they'd get spooked by the loud bang. Do you have to train them for this as well?
Every horse is different. Some take to it very easily. Some take a little more work. You have to work your way up to what we would shoot as, at competition loads. Just starting out with maybe even just clicking the gun while you're riding them and then shooting just the primer, which is not very loud at all. Mm-hmm. Horses are individuals. Every one is a little different. Like I said, some of them, you can just go right to it. If they're trained in the barrel industry, they can make the switch really easily and just go right into mounted shooting. And some of them take a lot of work.
So, Brett, okay, you said reactive targets. Are they always balloons, or can it be something else that's your target?
It's most generally always balloons. Some people practice with milk jugs because you can shoot a milk jug and you can hear it pop. But
oh, yeah.
at the events, it's always balloons.
And when you said 80 different targets, do you mean actual different targets you're shooting at? Does that mean the layouts? Because you mentioned it's a little bit like barrel racing, so it'd be 80 different patterns that you'd be familiar with?
Yes, 80 different patterns that there are. So it's you never know what you're going to shoot when you go to a competition. It's usually drawn the night before or the morning of. So you get there and it's surprise, here's what we're shooting today.
Okay. So how many rounds do you do? Is there like a short go and a long go like you do in other rodeo sports?
That varies by event as well. Some of them are three runs in a day. Some will be two runs in a day. And then a five run aggregate, possibly a short round, depending on what event you go to. There are I'll call them side events, the rifle and the shotgun. In the rifle, you shoot five with the pistol, you put your pistol away and you draw a lever action or a pump rifle and you shoot the last five with that. The shotgun, you shoot a side-by-side shotgun. Same thing, you shoot the first five with a pistol, draw your shotgun out, and then there'll be a cluster of two balloons and a cluster of three balloons on the way home that you'll engage with your shotgun.
So, okay, are you doing this, like when you're switching, are you wearing holsters? Do you have a scabbard on the saddle for a rifle because you're having to do this midstream in the same event?
I have holsters that I wear around my waist. I was prepared. I have them here. And a scabbard for the long guns on the front of my saddle on the right side, kind of down by my knee so that you can grab it quickly. Some of the runs you make, my holsters, the two guns are fairly close together across my belly. And some of the runs are very quick, down in the 8-second range. So you're shooting 10 balloons, switching guns in a matter of 8 seconds, all while going very fast on a horse. Some of it's quite challenging.
Are you ambidextrous so that you can shoot with either hand when you're having to pull everything with a right or a left?
I'm right-handed. I shoot the first five with my right hand, put the gun away, get the next one out, shoot five more with it.
Wow. Now, Brett, you said earlier that relatively new sport, around since 93, I believe you said. How many riders are there? How many competitors are there like yourself?
It usually is around 2,000 shooters every year. It stays pretty consistent. Like I said, there's almost 20,000 members, but people find other sports. People pass away, unfortunately. It's just part of life.
And how much... I can't imagine. I mean, like you said, you've got to control the horse. You've got to switch holsters.
You get in that chair. I'm going to push it around the room and make it juggle while you try to write with either hand.
Impossible. Okay. How much practice? How many years did it take you to perfect this?
I've been at the sport for 20 years, and I promise there is no such thing as perfection.
Right.
I'm the 2021 world champion at Amarillo, Texas. I outran 320 people.
Great.
I shot 50 balloons and was the fastest time on 5 runs. And just this past weekend, I did as bad as I have ever done.
Oh, no.
So, it's part of it. You can't be perfect all the time.
Okay. I have been furiously writing notes over here. We are not done with this conversation yet. So, Brett, please hold on. We need to touch on our news here at the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, we have lots more questions. For those of you who are listening and as fascinated as we are, please go ahead and give us a call on our Red Wing Shoe line, 701-293-9000. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus with what has to be one of the greatest curiosity-piquing guests that we've had, and that would be Brett Barkowski. He is with the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Sports or Shooting Association. So, okay, we got a million questions back here, Brett. One of them is, you mentioned you were world champion in 21, was it?
Correct.
Okay. Is this sanctioned differently than some of the rodeo sports that go to NFR or are part of PRCA, Pro Rodeo Cowboy Association, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a completely different association.
Okay. And so this is standalone, and when you guys have your events, are you having them at the same time or in conjunction with other rodeo events in the same area?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it does work out that we'll be part of a rodeo, sort of like a specialty act, get to make a couple runs during an event.
Wow.
And Brett, we got an email question from one of our listeners asking, how does he manage steering the horse, drawing his guns, and having, being able to steer the horse and drawing the guns and shooting all at the same time? Because you have to let go of the reins, obviously. So how exactly?
Not necessarily letting go, except for the long guns. The long guns on the way home, you let the horse go, and they run straight home on their own.
Okay.
But so I'm steering all the time with my left hand and shooting with my right. So I don't necessarily let go, but there is a lot going on. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of work. And like I said, you never stop learning. You never stop getting better. It's not like riding a bike. If you take a little time off, it catches up with you.
Well, because this bike comes back after you. I mean, it's got its own mind. So
exactly.
And I would have thought, as a kid growing up with horses, I would have thought that you would have used your knees a lot as far as directional on that horse versus reining it as much.
I'll admit I am not that good. My legs are, during a run, they're just anchors. I can't think to shoot and steer and kick. I don't have the mental capacity to do it.
Are the horses you ride all trained by you? And where did that start? You bought a horse from somebody else and then started doing that work yourself?
That's all my wife's fault. Amy Shimke, she's a barrel racer through and through. She's been barrel racing since she was a little girl, and it's all her fault. She trains the horses, she makes the horses. I just get on, I'm like whiplash up there, just going.
That's a great team. That's a great team.
Well, I want to know if Amy competes as well as you do. I mean, not
no, she says it's, she says mounted shooting is too hard, so she barrel races. I say barrel racing is too hard, so I just do my mounted shooting. We do each do our own thing, but it complements each other well.
Absolutely. Can a horse be a crossover from one sport to the other?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh.
In the one video you showed, the shotgun run, that bay mare that I was riding is Amy's good horse. She has an arena record running barrels, and she is two times the world champion shotgun horse.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I should probably stop with that. Okay. Do you reload shells for every event? Do you have to buy them to be within specifications of the sport?
At CMSA events, you have to shoot factory ammo. So it's bought in ammo, and they have to be certified to be within standards. And at home, I reload my own for practice, but that's where it stops. Otherwise, at events, you have to shoot provided ammo.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's kind of like going to NASCAR and bringing your own fuel, right? I mean, you've got to use what's within spec.
Exactly.
You mentioned a 10 to 20 foot barrier, depending on where you are. When I think about barriers, I think about when you're doing calf roping and team roping, and you break an electric eye when you come out of the chute. Is there some sort of eye that keeps you within a barrier when you're riding in the arena, or does that not matter?
No, the only eye is the start and stop.
Okay.
Line, kind of like the same in a barrel race, but otherwise the distance you are away from targets is all on you. And
okay.
if you want to stretch that envelope and shoot at 20 feet and hope that it pops in order to run a faster time, then it's all on you.
And that's how you get more points, is more distance. Okay.
More distance, faster. It's a timed event.
Yep.
So you're timed on the run. You're penalized 5 seconds for each missed balloon. You're penalized 5 seconds if you tip a barrel. You're penalized 10 seconds if you fail to follow the course, mm-hmm. if you don't turn a barrel or something along that line, if you cheat the course.
I'm thinking it's the best way. I'm fascinated some days when I can drive and drink pop at the same time. This guy is on a horse with a gun riding in a layout. Okay. Would horses that do well in shooting sports be good horses that you could hunt off of because they don't mind the pop and the bang if you're hunting, that type of thing?
I think they could do it. I've not tried it personally, but I see no reason why they wouldn't. The rounds that we shoot in mounted shooting, being black powder like they are not necessarily as loud as a live round that you would shoot out of a pistol or a rifle for hunting. So it's less hard on the horses.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go hunting, I suppose you would hopefully not be shooting off of your horse.
Well, hopefully not. Right. Well, not at a run, but probably at a standstill, and maybe not always off the horse. I get what you're saying there. Where are your events held throughout? And I'm going to guess, just because we live in the Dakotas, more so in the summer months?
In the summer months up here, there are some winter shows up here. There's an event at the Rapid City Stock Show that's already scheduled. Popular, though, in the summer months. There's a pretty good following in the Bismarck area. There's a group in northwestern Minnesota that has quite a few events during the summer, but more so in the south. And winter events, Arizona is super popular, but it's understandable.
So one question, is your saddle different in any way to accommodate carrying a rifle or a shotgun?
It is not. I have a barrel saddle and two of three of them, actually. So that's whatever you're comfortable riding in.
Okay. All right.
And Brett, how do you, another email question from one of our listeners. They want to know, what is your best time, or your best score, I should say, and where do you see this sport going in the next 10 years?
My fastest time ever was at the Rapid City Stock Show. I've always wanted to run a 6-second run.
Wow.
And I had a 7:011.
Oof.
So 11 hundredths away from what I wanted. And, you know, it's still a goal. I still want to have that 6-second run.
But sure.
Like I said before, it's a lot to do. It's a lot to shoot 10 balloons and do a gun change in 10 seconds. And in seven is, things happen pretty quick.
I'd say.
That was going to be my ask is it always 10 targets on that run, but they can be in different layouts?
Different layouts. Usually the last five are always straight home. Mm-hmm. And the first five, though, it doesn't. There's not any set pattern as to where they're at. It's from runs that are in the 7-second range to runs that take 23 seconds to finish. So it just depends on what they draw and arena size. If you can put a great big pattern in there, they'll run them. And if it's a tiny arena, then you pick stuff that fits.
When you guys start out go ahead, Brett.
There was a second part to that email. As far as where I think the sport goes, hopefully it continues to grow. I mean, hopefully we can get more exposure through things like this, more exposure on TV, get more people into it. I want to see it grow. It's so much fun. The people are so great. That's the best thing about the sport is the people in it. No matter how bad a day or good a day you're having, the people are the best. If you have something go wrong, if you have a horse get hurt, if you have a gun break, people are instantly walking up, offering you whatever you need, helping out, doing whatever they can.
And Brett, who is the oldest rider that you guys, that you have right now that's competing?
Danny Lemons. I can't for the life of me say where he's from the Southeast. I want to say he's 86
Whoa.
Years old, somewhere in that range. At that point, I hope to know who I am.
Oh, God.
Right.
Aside from, you know, being able to ride a horse. They're my favorite people to watch. Wendell Stamey from Georgia is, I believe he's 81. He rides a former world champion horse that has multiple world records, and that's an amazing team to watch. That horse slowed down and takes the best care of him, and that's the greatest thing to watch.
Oh yeah,
that's incredible.
I bet that he and his horse have been a team for a long time.
Wow.
I at 86 and 81, I'm hoping. Hell, I'm hoping I can get on a horse like right now, much less than 30 years from now. That's awesome.
Man.
Good
wow.
for them.
That's talent.
No kidding.
That is talent. Like Brett said, I just want to know who I am at 86 years old.
Absolutely. So, Brett, as we wrap up, where can folks go to find maybe what you do or more about the whole association and upcoming events, that type of thing?
CowboyMountedShooting.com, CMSA events. It's just Google Cowboy Mounted Shooting. It'll come up. There's links to the website right there.
Yep.
It's videos on YouTube. It's everywhere if you do a little time looking for it.
Thank you. This has been so much fun. We talk about all things ag, and I always put rodeo right into that, and especially something that's a bit of a new event. So, thank you so much, Brett.
Well, thanks for having me. This was fun.
This
thanks.
Was really neat.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We want to make sure we get through some headlines as well as the weather. Stay tuned.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon. A short work week for many. A lot of people traveling this week. And if your travel destinations are bringing you anywhere in the northern and central plains, no big storms. That's good news. There will be a little minor snow event Wednesday. I know that's a big travel day, but when minor, I'm talking inch or less of snow. And sometimes that's enough just to grease up the roadways. But other than that.
You say that like that's not a big deal.
An inch of snow? Not for. No.
No, the grease up the roadways part.
Yeah, everybody will be all right. It's you slow your roll if you see snow. I know it was, even with the 0.7 inch that we officially got overnight into early this morning, those side roads, even the on and off ramps, and that's going to be the problem until the sun comes up and melts all that away. It, you know, you're going to have some slippery hours in the early morning before that starts to melt. So keep that in mind for Wednesday. Other than that, it's just going to be a windy and cold Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving, with wind chills approaching 20 below. A lot of wind out of the north-northwest and maybe a few flurries Thursday and then again Saturday. Into Saturday night. But other than that, again, no big storms. And if you're flying out of anywhere, Minneapolis looks good. Chicago looks good. Denver could be a problem, although a lot of that's going to be in the high country, the snow there. If you have travel plans going out west into the Colorado Rockies for Thanksgiving, a lot of people do like a little ski vacation. They're going to get hit with over 2 feet of snow at the ski resorts. That's great news for them.
Happy skiing.
Yes. East Coast might be a problem, the northeast, especially interior New England, and a lot of lake effect snow in the lee of the lakes are going to be setting up Thanksgiving into Thanksgiving weekend. And you could include that for some of the local lakes. Devil's Lake might see some downwind snow showers.
All they care about is ice.
They do,
they
yes.
want cold. If we're going to do this now, let's get good ice for the whole winter.
Yes.
I got agronomy on ice on February 5th. Anxiety Annie over here, who gets real nervous about walking out on the ice and putting houses down and stuff. I need ice. I need like 3 feet.
Yeah. And by then we'll be good to go.
But we were last year. So we were agronomy by the ice.
How thick was it last year?
It was really variable. We had so much just variability and it didn't freeze really well.
So you guys never made it on the ice last year?
No, we were beside the ice last year because folks were a little nervous and I would be too.
Yeah.
Putting those things out there.
And we will have this winter, and again, we'll go over all of this on our LRC special. Make sure you tune in after Weather and Ag on this Wednesday, 2 o'clock. We'll be going over what this winter looks like. It's not going to be like last winter. It's not going to be as warm. We will have some warm stretches, though. But it will be colder than last winter, and we'll try and time out some of the stormier periods. The cycle isn't set yet, but we kind of have a clue on what it's looking like, and we'll kind of time out when we're expecting some of these storms. There's already been two. I've got it on the calendar in my office. I believe we've had three. It's either two or three. What I would call significant LRC storms, with one of them being all rain. And that's going to be the very interesting one when that cycles back in cycles two and three, how much precip we get out of that. And will it be, it was mainly in the form of rain earlier this month, but we did have some snow on the backside of it. That was our first snow before we turned colder. So that one is going to be interesting when that cycles back in cycle two and three. And again, that's just one of the things we'll be talking about coming up Wednesday on the Jay Thomas Show, our winter weather outlook. Be sure to tune in for that. Gary might have some specials going too.
Never know.
For Black Friday specials, if you want to be a member of the LRC fan club.
Everybody wants to be a member because that way you get specialized forecasts just for you.
Yes, you do.
So people were making fun of it, calling it butter stupidity. Costco had to do a recall on 80,000 pounds of butter because their labeling failed to say that it contains milk. Now, as much as people made fun of it, understand not everybody knows everything. That's why we still get the question, doesn't chocolate milk come from brown cows? For the record, for the record, it does not. Now, because it wasn't properly labeled, people who have food allergies were incredibly concerned. Now, if you need a place to dispose of 80,000 pounds of butter properly, I'll take it. I've got some baking to do, and I'd be fine with it. But I realize it's easy. It's an easy target. You know, the next thing they're going to be saying is we recalled some hamburger because people found out there was beef in it. But frankly, there are those types of things that happen. Not everybody's aware, and food allergies are still serious to many. So, again, if you need to get rid of your butter, do call.
So this was a mistake on the labeling. So they forgot to put that there was milk included in butter.
Yeah, on the label. Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody's aware.
Really?
I just said people ask if chocolate milk comes from brown cows. It does not. Oreos don't come from the black and white belted Galloways.
Is this the same thing as chemtrails and all that stuff?
No, because that's dumb. So, Just wanted to clarify.
Oh, and not knowing that there's milk, that there's not milk here, that there's milk and butter and you don't
I will
know
make
that.
You a column of good, bad, and dumb, and I will share that with you later in the week if we need
wait.
To.
Okay. I can't wait.
Glad I can help. So, additionally, know that, yes, they did pick a new Secretary of Ag that Trump has proposed for his cabinet. We don't know a lot about her yet. We'll keep working on finding out more information, but many of the farm groups came out and just said, great, we've got somebody. We don't know much about her.
Now, are we going to get a farm bill, your opinion, are we going to get a farm bill done before the change of administration?
God, no.
Okay.
These are bureaucrats. So. Yeah. Bureaucrats. Right. They'll never get done time. If they do, shocked and amazed, because Debbie Stabenow is the only one who's going to push that through, and all of the pork belly spending she put into it's not going to help.
Gotcha. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us on this Monday for Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.